Hashem. Whether it was challenging times or good times, David HaMelech always davened, always spoke, and always cried to Hashem. And you see throughout Sefer Tehillim, the David HaMelech views Hashem as his father, and he's his precious child. You see for the following story how important to know that Hashem's Altati, Avinu Avo Rachaman, and we're his precious children, his precious kindalach. Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. In September of 1994, as they told Mr. Blasio, I started Fordham Law School in Manhattan. And I used to live up near the Heights, so I can be near a base medrash, so I can be near YU to learn Torah. Around October, November, I started to notice every time I always got off the subway, I always had to run towards the water fountain. I was always thirsty. So I thought maybe it's diabetes, because sign of diabetes, you're always thirsty. So in January 1995, I went to my doctor, Dr. Schoenfeld. He's right, Fabian Schoenfeld's brother. He's from Yid himself. And he checked me out. He goes, Levi, you don't have diabetes. But come back to me a month from now. So I figured, if he said, come back to him a month from now, no need to go back to him at all. It's not an emergency. So from January to May, I was constantly waking up, going to the bathroom, very hyper, very excited. So I thought it had to be one of two issues. Either a psychological problem, or I just hate law school. So I signed up for Wurzweil School of Social Work here for a summer program, and I started to go see a psychologist. As they say, mothers know best. Around May time, my loving mother says to me, Levi, why don't you go back to Dr. Schoenfeld for a checkup, for a visit? I had this big, fat, bloated face. I can't even describe it. Dr. Schoenfeld took one look at my face, and he goes, Levi, you have what's called Cushing's disease. That's a tumor on the pituitary gland. Your pituitary gland controls sugar, so when you have a tumor pressing down on it, you're getting more sugar than you need, and that's why I was hyper excited, drinking a lot, going to the bathroom because all the liquid I was drinking. I was then sent to Mount Sinai Hospital here in Manhattan to an incredible, incredible endocrinologist, Dr. Levine, where an MRI and a CAT scan was ordered to be taken to find the exact location of the tumor. They found it right below the brain near the optic nerve. They then told me I would need two operations to remove the tumor. One was a 9.5-hour open head surgery, and another was a 6-hour operation through the nose. I'll tell you, Bachim, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that both operations were successful and I was able to go home. About 2 weeks later, I had a checkup with one of my surgeons, and a day or two before the checkup, I noticed I had a lot of mucus in my nose. So when I showed up, I go, doctor, is it normal I should have such mucus in my nose after having such surgeries, after having such operations? The doctor said to me, Levi, that's not mucus. You're leaking fluid from your head. You have what's called a cerebral spinal fluid leak, a CSF leak. You're now going to require another 4-hour operation through the nose to close up that leak. When I woke up, I go, doctor, I think I have news you don't want to hear. I really believe that I'm still leaking. I think that I'm still leaking. The doctor goes, no way you're leaking. You're just imagining. You see, when we take the cotton out of your nose, you see all it is dry blood. You're just imagining. When he took the cotton out, it wasn't dry blood. I was still leaking. I then had to undergo another 4 to 6 hour open head surgery to close up that leak. That summer, I had a total of 4 operations. And after the 4th surgery, they told me that my vision would not be 20/20, because they told me in order to get Bachshem, the tumor was benign. But to get to the benign tumor, they had to knock the optic nerve out of its place. But they said the vision would come back. I forgot October, November, December. Due to the tremendous kindness, the tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my vision came back. Around February or March of 1996, I started to notice that every time I ate, food would come out of my mouth. So I went to a doctor, bookbinder, Mount Sinai Hospital, and he said to me, due to all the operations, scar tissue, skin wrapped around your jaw, and that's why you can't open your mouth fully. And that's why food's falling out. You're going to need another 1.5-hour operation, in and out the same day, to cut away the scar tissue. After I recovered from that surgery, I needed little radiation treatments, very little. I tell you, I thank Hashem, there was only once a week or 5-week period that Baruch Hashem had no nausea, no hair loss whatsoever. When the radiation was finished and the treatments were over, I'm just guessing, I don't recall fully, but I'm just guessing that I must have told myself that hopefully this is it. No more operations. No more surgeries. No more radiation treatments. No more major medical procedures. Hoping this whole episode of my life was coming to an end, coming to a conclusion. In August of 1997, a good friend of mine, Jonathan Kaplan, was getting married in St. Louis, Missouri, and invited me to his chasna, to his wedding. And I was staying at someone's house who was not going to be there, but they said, Levi, our house is your house. Like famous saying, mi casa, su casa. Our house is your house. Take whatever you want. I was actually going through the drawers looking for the credit card. They didn't leave it for me. But I was back in their car up in the garage when I hit the garage wall or the garage door. I forgot which one. I offered to pay for the damages. They said, Levi, we forgive you. We're mocha you. I live in Queens in New York City, about a mile away from where Don Cohen grew up. And my father goes to me, your sister and brother-in-law come back from Eretz Yisrael. I'll drive my car to the Kennedy Airport and you drive theirs. So I was driving on the famous Van Wyck Highway when I cut a guy off. I went right in front of another car. But the problem was, I didn't see him. I tell you, Bachrim, I thank Hashem that no one got killed, no one got injured, and no car was damaged. But I realized at that moment in time, there's something wrong with my vision, with my eyesight, if I can't see a car on the side of the highway. I went to one eye doctor who sent me to another, who said, no problem, you come to my office to exercise on my computer and you see your vision will improve. So I used to go to his office twice a day, like he told me. Sorry, twice a week, and I did computer exercises. But what he told me, the opposite was occurring. My vision was not increasing, but was decreasing. Every day I was seeing less and less. So I got in contact with the Dr. Joe Mindel. He's a newer ophthalmologist at Mount Sinai Hospital. And by the time I went to see him, I don't remember the right or left eye, but one of them was completely blind. I could not see anything out of it. Dr. Mindel said to me, Levi, there's no way I get back the eyesight you lost, nor can I guarantee you might go blind in the other eye also. I imagine when he told me that, I was not dancing or jumping for joy. But I tell you, Bachim, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he blessed me with a beautiful, loving, amazing family. And my incredible family did some homework, and they found out about Dr. Scott Foreman at Westchester County Medical Center. Dr. Foreman has a technique called the hyperbaric chamber. It's a glass tube. You line it, and it's sealed, and you receive oxygen. He told me if I do this procedure twice a day for 2 hours apiece, he can keep the eyesight I have. He can't get back the vision I lost, but keep the eyesight I have. And every time you enter or leave the hyperbaric chamber, a nurse takes your temperature. So one day I was leaving, and the nurse said to me, you know, you have 103. So I must have told, I don't recall remember, but I must have said, do you have any Tylenol, some Advil? I can take care of myself. I'm Baruch Hashem, an adult. I tell you, Baruch Hashem, she didn't listen to me. She put me on the side, the nurse put me on the side for observation. She watched me and monitored me. My temperature went up to 105, and I went unconscious. I was unconscious about 2.5 days. I had meningitis. I think I woke up on Erev Simchas Torah, and a couple of days later, I was put back in an ambulance towards Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan, where I then had to undergo another 6-hour open-head surgery. That was my 6th operation. After I recovered, I returned back to Westchester County Medical Center, Dr. Foreman. I go, could I continue going back in the hyperbaric chamber? Could I continue receiving oxygen? He said, yes, Levi, we can put you in the chamber, and yes, we can give you oxygen. But unfortunately, since the treatments were interrupted, it's not going to be successful. Around Hanukkah of 1997, I was 26 years old, I went completely blind, could not see a thing. And I'll be honest with you, Bachim, that Hanukkah was my most difficult Hanukkah of my life. This was the first time since I was a little kid that my father had to hold my hand to light the menorah. As we know, Hanukkah is one of the few yontes we're seeing as everything. Whether lighting your menorah or walking in the YU dorms, seeing menorahs in other people's windows, the flame, the wick, how beautiful it is. Thanking Hashem for what He gave you. Thanking Hashem that you're still alive. Yes, I can thank Hashem that I'm still alive, and I can thank Hashem for what He gave me. But I can't see other people's menorahs than mine. You know what means I can't see a Gemara anymore? You know what means when I learned with a friend of mine, he says, Beshem, I mutter, whatever he has to quote it, I have to comprehend what he's saying. You know what means when I stand in shul Shabbos morning and they're laying, I'm not going to lie to you, I sometimes space out. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, different individuals stand next to me. They say 2-3 words, I repeat after them 2-3 words. I have 7 nephews and nieces, I have no idea where any of them look. You know what it means to wake up in the morning and you can't admire Hashem's beautiful creations, such as a bird, a tree, a piece of grass, a rain or snow? You know what it means not to see the most amazing sight of all, a Jew davening at the Kotel, or one of the most beautiful sights of all, see a Jew learning Torah? I can't see that either. So I went blind in my last semester of law school. My sister, Wheat Wolf, who's a lawyer, she's happily married. She volunteered to help me out with one of them. And Baruch Hashem, I passed the final. These other individuals, Seth Berkowitz and David Becker, one was in law school and the other one graduated, volunteered to help me out with the other law school final. And Baruch Hashem, I passed that one also. Then an organization called the Lighthouse for the Blind came over my house. They put little buttons, puffed up buttons on my microwave so I can feel it. They told me to tell my parents that nothing in the house can move without telling me. The milk, the oranges, the water stays in the exact same spot in the refrigerator. If someone moves and doesn't tell me, I'm going to pour orange juice into my cereal, think it's milk. All the doors have to be closed. If someone leaves the door a little open, I'll smack my head right into it. I can tell you just today, I was running in a shul, I smacked my head right into a wall. No package could be on the floor because someone leaves a package, I'll kick it across the room like a football. Make a try for the Jets. I hear they're pretty pathetic. I'd be much better than they are, for sure. As all of us know, at the end of law school is the bar exam. So the course that prepares you for the bar exam is called Barbary. That course was sued a couple years back by blind individuals, and they put everything on audio. And I live in an incredible, incredible, loving Jewish community called Hillcrest, Queens. And within 2 days, I called two people. One of them was Rebbetzin Esther Krauss. And within 2 days, 30 from Yiddin, 30 Jewish lawyers, volunteered to come over one per night to help me study. The bar is usually 2 days, but disabled people like me, we get 4 days. And we're allowed to bring in any friends or relatives to ask us the questions. I think up to 10 to 11 people volunteered to take the test with me. And I tell you, I thank Hashem, do tremendous chesed from Hashem. I passed the New York State Bar on the first try. I received smicha here from YU. And I received a master's in social work from Rabbi Simbolka's program. So people ask me what made me go on. When I say I'm on the ground, don't get out of bed. Even I hate sins, commit suicide. Give up on life. So as I told you, Hashem blessed me with an incredible, incredible, loving family. But besides my amazing family, there are 4 reasons I continued. One of them is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I tell you, ever since I went blind, I feel when I daven, I'm talking face to face, mouth to mouth, eye to eye to Hashem. I feel Hashem has carried me in His hands. I'll tell you 2 incredible stories that happened to me. This past summer, I was in the Catskills for a Shabbos. And Sunday morning was Shivasar B'Tammuz Nitra. You know, it was a fast day. I woke up a couple of minutes earlier than my friend did. But I know my friend has to drive back, and he can't drink coffee. It's a fast day. I could sleep in the car at least. So I was tossing and turning. When should I wake him up for Minyan? And then suddenly I saw my head, 7:33, and I saw 2 thumbs go up. Exactly at 7:33 on my watch, he woke up. I once lost something, and I couldn't find it. You know, I put everything in when I wake up in the morning, and when I'm at someone else's house, I put it on the bed. I couldn't find it. So when I got to the brachas, I kavanah pokeh chivim, that Hashem opened my eyes, let me find it. 5 minutes later, I was sitting right on top of it, and it wasn't there before. I'll tell you, Bachrim, Hashem is with you. Hashem is with every Jew on earth. Just talk to Him. When you go back to your dorms night, just talk to Hashem like you're talking to Avi Cohen, to your friends. And say thank you to Hashem. Think of 1 or 2 or 3 good things and go, Hashem, I thank you for A. Hashem, I thank you for B. Hashem, I thank you for C. And when you do it on a regular basis, you'll start seeing, feeling Hashem carrying you and you're not carrying Hashem. The second item that made me continue is my Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Parnas. I still remember when I was in intensive care unit with wires coming in and out of my body that you're not permitted to have visit at 9:30 in the morning. And I still remember upon his bending over my bed at 9:30 in the morning, and he said, Levi, I told the nurse I'm your rabbi. And she said, I can have 1 minute, and that's all I need. I need to tell you I'm there for you. My father calls upon us a malach, my mother calls him a father. So people ask me, how did he get so close to upon us? I tell you, when I could see, I asked him every question in the book. Am I doing this halacha correctly? Is this what I should be doing for summer vacation? Is this the proper hashkaf I should have in life? He was there in the good times, and in the so-called challenging times, he has been a major, major pillar of support for my family and I. You guys, I don't know who all you obeying, but I know Rabbi Cohen loves you guys dearly. Get close to Rabbi Cohen, get close to your obeying. Ask them any question book. Ask them, is this mutter to do on Shabbos? What bracha to make on the food? Ask them any question. The more close you get to your obeying, the more you thank Hashem for having your Rebbe to be there. And chas v'shalom. And I repeat, chas v'shalom, you should face so-called challenging times. You thank Hashem for having your Rebbe there to hold your hand. The third item that made me continue is Klai Yisrael, the Jewish community. I still remember when I was in the hospital, my non-Jewish roommates, the only one that had visited them, if at all, was their family. My family was there day in and day out, night in, night out. Besides, I had tons of friends. I had Satmar women from medical residents. This people from local Shumanan called Oyev Tzedek. This guy, Miss Mickey, Alav Shalom, and this woman, Mrs. Khan. But we all know the greatness of Klai Yisrael, Hatzalah, Chaveim, Tomche Shabbos. But all of us could do chesed for each other. You do not need to be a multimillionaire. If you know someone here and why he needs a dollar or two, give them your dollar, lend it to them, give it to them. If you know someone needs a phone and you have it, lend it to them. If you have a car and you know someone needs a ride, offer to them. If you know someone lonely, befriend them. All of us could do chesed and bring Mashiach a step closer. But more than that, make the world brighter than before you got here. And put a smile across someone's face. But the last item was the item that made me continue the most. And that is Torah HaKadosha. Through Torah HaKadosha, I realized that everything Hashem does is Gamzu L'Toyva. It's for my best, even if I don't understand it. If you look at some of these famous Goyim, you see they're not happy with what they have. They have money and fame, but they're not happy. Every day in the news, you hear one of these actors or actresses or sports stars overdose on drugs, caught an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? They're not happy. But I guarantee, one thing I remember is Rav Shechter was always smiling. And so was Rav Meir Goldrich. That's what I remember. Other Rebbeim also, but I'm just saying those are what I remember. And I guarantee you, Bachman, the more you learn to live Torah, the more you're going to smile. The more you learn to live Torah, the more you realize it's Hashem running the world, not anyone else. The more you learn to live Torah, the more you thank Hashem for giving you a purpose, a meaning life, and a mission to live. The more you learn to live Torah, the more you thank Hashem for making you a Jew, and you're going to want to dance and sing to Him. And if you get frustrated because you're stuck in a Rashi or Tosfos, think about me, who love to be in your shoes. I tell everyone, if Hashem made me blind to teach me the importance, the chashivas of learning Torah, I understand. I miss Torah tremendously. Just push yourself, and you'll see the greatness of learning and living Torah. If you have any question, you can ask anything you want. Is anybody here? Okay, I'll have to tell you one funny story then, okay, and then you guys have to ask. I was walking down Main Street, and I bumped into a guy. And the guy said to me, "What are you, blind?" I go, "Yeah, I'm blind." He didn't hear me say that. I was once in Mostly Music in Paul Park. They sell Avram Fried, Yaakov Shraki CDs. You know, it was Jewish music. So I thought a little Hasidic boy came in, so I started tapping on his head. And he left the store, and I go to the salesman, "Where'd he go?" He goes, the salesman goes, "You were hitting a 93-year-old woman on the head. She did not like getting hit on the head." This Shabbos, I was up in Halb High School Halb High School at a Shabbaton in the Poconos. I was there to speak, and I was in the stall, you know, in the bathroom, and the tissues fell on the floor, the tissue box. I went to lift up the tissue box. Meanwhile, my tie ended up in the toilet. Okay, you have any questions, you can ask anything you want. Wait, Cohen? Did he leave? Is he sleeping also? No, wait, Cohen, do you have any questions? Please.
Any questions?
You can ask anything you want. I don't get insulted. Nothing at all?
Bobby.
Yeah, what's your name?
Toby Schaefer.
Okay.
When did you start?
Just where you're from, I'm just curious.
Originally Teaneck, New Jersey.
And now?
Well, my parents made Aliyah, so...
Where do you live?
Yerushalayim.
Okay, and where do you live now? Where do you live here? Okay, go.
Mas 279.
Okay.
Did you always have such strong chizik in your amuna, or did that come from...
So I tell you, Dovi, I never really got tested before. When I missed a subway, lost $5... I never really got a test like this before. So I can't tell you yes or no because I never really got tested. I can tell you this, my 20 years of being blind, maybe 8 or 9 times got angry at Hashem, maybe. He's my father. I can't get angry at my father. Well, Benny Freeman, you know, he has a yeshiva, I think, in the old city, Yerushalayim, Yer Kodesh. He told a story about, I think, let's call the guy Baruch Singer. I might get the name wrong, but after the Holocaust, Baruch Singer moved to Israel. and his son went to fight the war of independence. And his only son left got killed. As they're burying his son, Baruch Singer is singing and dancing at his son's levaya, son's funeral. I go, Baruch, this is your son's funeral. How could you sing and dance? He goes, I tell you why. Because all my other children, I don't know where they're buried because they got killed in the Holocaust. At least I know where this son is buried. And it taught me a lot. Yes, I face my challenges, Dovi. I'm not lying to you. I do face challenges. But you got to look at what you do have. Baruch Hashem, I'm a Jew. Baruch Hashem, the Jewish community helped me. Baruch Hashem, a beautiful family. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. You know, when you look at what you do have, you realize you're a much wealthier person than you think. You know, I'm just saying by myself than I really am.
Any other questions? Don't raise your hand, you can't see. Just speak up.
What's your name, Jess?
Moshe Stewart.
And where are you from, Jess?
Muncie.
Okay.
Was your Amuna always this strong, or do you think it became stronger?
It definitely became stronger. I can tell you, when I first went blind, I used to think every night of 2-3 good things. I go, Hashem, I thank you for A, Hashem, I thank you for B. I used to think of 2-3 good things of what Hashem did for me. And even now, I think a lot, Hashem, we love you, Hashem, we love you. But guys start running away from me because my voice is not that good. But it definitely got stronger. It definitely got stronger. But Moshe, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You ever been to a drive-by ATM machine?
Yeah.
Why do they have Braille on it? Imagine me driving up to one. You'd be running for your life. It doesn't make sense. But yes, it definitely got stronger after going blind. It definitely got stronger. 110%.
Lavi, question?
Yeah. What's your name?
Don Cohen.
Okay. No, you have to wait till then. Wait, but Cohen, please just let the children, Tamina, do you mind?
What's that?
Wait, let the Tamina ask first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Were you scared?
What's your name, Jess?
Adam.
Where you live?
I live in New York. I'm from France.
Okay. Was I scared of what, the operations?
Everything.
Not really. I can tell you one thing. Before my fourth operation, I asked my neurosurgeon, Dr. Sen, he's an Indian guy. I asked him, am I going to die? So he goes, no. So I go, are you God? So he goes, you're right. Statistically, you shouldn't die. But if God wants to kill you, he'll kill you. But God does not want to kill you. But if you ask me that question one more time, I'm going to kill you myself. That's what he said to me. I didn't have time to think about it. That's what I'm trying to say. Everything, I'm not going to say it took 2 years, but it moved so fast. Everything was one after another quickly. I didn't have really time to think about it. I was more, maybe the first operation I was scared, but overall, I didn't have time to think about whether I was scared or not. I didn't have time to, you know what I'm saying? I just didn't have time. I was going from one procedure to the next, but you know what I'm saying? I just didn't have time.
And what happened when you realized that you were blind?
So my mother said when I first woke up, you know, for that meningitis, I was blind already. And she said I was crying. I don't remember this, but they gave me steroids, and they said it's going to be temporarily. So over the month and a half, I went blind. I was going blind every day. And I was more scared of ending up on the subway, you know what I mean, like with homeless people, than going blind. But you see, Yad Hashem, I finally, when I was in Fordham Law School, about 5-6 blocks away, is another shul called, I think, Lincoln Square. I used to daven Mincha Maariv every day, or a lot of times. I got there, and I got to use the phone, and my mother picked me up. She worked in Manhattan. My father works in Connecticut. But I just tell you this. It was over a month. I didn't have time to think about it. I was more scared where I was going to go blind than being blind. And I can tell you, Adam, I just see Yad Hashem in my life. I mamashi Yad Hashem. I can even tell you, when I got mugged, I was fighting with the guy because I thought it was a friend of mine playing a joke. 3 days before us, they killed a Pakistani woman who fought with them. It just hit me now. Why did they kill me? You know why? Because I'm a Jew. Hashem said, you're not touching my child's life. You can take his money, but not his life. He's one of my children. You're not touching his life. Okay, Rabbi Cohen, you can ask your question now.
Is anyone else here?
Yeah.
What's your name, Moshe, again?
No, Nate.
Nate, where are you from?
L.A.
Okay.
If Hashem granted you your eyesight back for 4 hours, how would you spend it?
So people may ask me this. At first, I'd love to see my Rebbe, my parents. But can I tell you this? I have no idea how I look. I know I'm good looking. I just know how to look. You know, next week, Nate, I'm on the front page of a magazine, Mr. Blind Man GQ. But I would just probably want to learn Torah. I miss Torah a lot. I'd love to look at my Gemara, my Shavua, Chumash, but hopefully we'll do that. But again, if it's only 4 hours, you know, it's going to be hard to decide, you know what I'm saying? I'm probably going to look at different stuff. But yes, I just can't, you know, I just can't tell you what I do, because it's not making fun of you, Nate. It's just, you know, it's too hard to answer that question on the right now, you know. But those are probably the things I would do. No problem. Any other questions?
Yeah. Hi, Olivia. I'm Ariel from
Greenet.
Okay.
Is there a Braille Siddur that you pray from?
So I was studying Braille before the bar, and I had a woman teacher. So yes, my Rebbe, your partner, you know, Mutta touched my hand, you know, show me the gear. So upon said, Vanessa, yeah, if not, not. So I open my big mouth to her. I go, I prefer you not touch my hand unless you need to. She goes, God has to make exceptions. I said, God doesn't. Vanessa, yes, if not, not. Then she goes, then I told her, I'm also not allowed in the house alone with you. She goes, well, you are. I go, no, I keep the front door open. Well, she would tell her, President Clinton would give half the stuff. He'd never been in any trouble. But I don't know Braille. I found it much challenging. It's much flatter than what you see on driver 18 machine on the elevator. It's very flat. There's a firm lady from Lower East Side who offered to teach me when I want. But it's much flatter than what out there. But I do have a talking computer. Like if I write Dear Rabbi Cohen, he'll repeat after me, Dear Rabbi Cohen. If he sends me an email, it's a little program called JAWS, JAWS. It repeats to you anything on the screen. I'll tell you, I have a talking watch. I'll show you. It's the most annoying thing, waking up to a chicken every morning, but that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions? You can ask me anything. I don't get insulted. You wonder if I make images of people look, I do. I have one of my good friends. I even got a bach on his chuppah. For the longest time, I thought he looked like a chipmunk. Like this. You know, I really thought he looked like a chipmunk. I told him. There's two people in Yerushalayim. I can't talk about it. Forget about it. Yeah. I can't say, but yeah. But I've had my stories. But yeah. And people ask me, can I tell if I put my hand across people's face, can I tell how they look? I go somewhere. I'm not going to go there. Hi, how are you? The guy's going to punch me in the face so hard. You know?
Hi, my name is Abraham. I'm from LA.
Okay. You know my friend Nate? What?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. He's a great guy. Yeah.
I was just curious, just with it.
Wait, can I ask you a question, you two?
Yeah.
I'm not making fun. I know the fire is going through place paradise. How far is that from LA? I was just wondering this whole fire. How far is it from LA, the film community?
It's pretty far.
Okay.
Pretty far.
Yeah. You know, I'm blind. I don't know this stuff. What?
The fires aren't reaching there, but the smoke is reaching there.
Okay.
Like,
So what's your question? I'm sorry.
I was curious, like, in your day-to-day, like, going about every day, like, do you still, like, imagine the world, like, the way you picture, or have you developed kind of, like, a different sense of...
So you have to realize, when I was going blind, computers were just coming out, you know? Like, I don't know if you know, made by Condos, a place we had now I know the thing is Xbox, but nowadays was a thing called Atari. We also had VIC 120, Commodore 64, the computers were just coming out. So I know what a computer screen looks like. I know what an iPhone looks like, but that I'm just imagining. But maybe I imagine what I grew up on. Yeah, probably is. I never thought about it, but probably imagine what I grew up with. Yeah. But I don't take it, I guess I don't imagine about the new technology so much because I can't see it. Like, you know, I still have a bat phone, you know. Just like from the Fred Flintstone days, you know. But you know, I can't see, so I can imagine internet a bit, but it's my imagination. But I could be totally wrong when I'm thinking.
Is there any iPhone or anything of that sort that's meant for blind people?
So Kathy McGuire, she works for Visions. It's an organization helps the blind. When she came to my house, she was not so fond of an iPhone because this thing called Siri or something like that.
Yeah.
But she said she felt the flip-flop phone is much easier for a blind person than Siri. So that's what she told me. I asked her about, should I get the iPhone? She would tell me I would have got it, you know? And for me, the iPhone's no trade for Sky. I can't see the screen anyway. You know?
Yeah.
Do you still...
Just, what's your name, Moshe?
Moshe, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm blind, I'm sorry.
Do you dream... Do you know if you dream in pictures?
I dream in pictures. Do I dream in colors? I'm not sure. I think sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's all I can tell you. But I do have dreams, yes. And most of the people in my dreams are people from the past. Most people are dreams from the past. Because you have to realize that's what I... So I don't know what you look like. I'm sure you're a good-looking man, but I don't know what you look like. You know what I'm saying? So most of the people from my dream are people from the past. But I do have dreams. I do something I think it's in color. But I'm not sure. You know, I don't have the updated TV sets yet.
Yeah.
I'm Shahar from Toronto.
Okay.
What do you think Obama looks like?
I don't know. I can tell you this. Boch, I'm a blind. I tell you what I have in him. They have, like, he has a small little afro over here. I can't describe a face. But I have an image like a small little afro. That's all I have. Yeah, I can't tell a face. You know, I just can't tell a face. I know with Donald Trump, because you have to realize that he was around even when I could see. You know, it says in the dollar bills and G-O-D we trust. He would love to say in the good old Donna we trust. You know, he's so egotistic, it's not even funny. I feel bad for the guy. He would love his face next to George Washington and the dollar bill. Yeah.
Hi, Russia.
Yeah, what's your name?
It's me, Yonatan Lavi.
Okay. Yeah, I'm dying blind. I can't see. Yeah.
So I noticed you have a very sharp memory.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, or do you know rather that your sense...
So all my senses increase when I'm blind. I know about 150 phone numbers by heart. I know, like, why I use number 212, either 960, 5200, or 5400. By collapse number 960-5344, by down code 917-442-4791, by shekel 795-0630. Oh, you have to realize, Hashem increased my senses, because otherwise I will not be able to survive. I can tell you two stories. First of all, I need increased hearing to cross the street. Because I'm going to cross the street, I'll get killed by a car. But I'll tell you two stories. It was before Sukkot a couple of years ago. I tell my parents I hear beeping in the house. My father checks every fire alarm, everything's working. Sukkot's come, they tell my parents I hear this beeping. Sukkot's night, my mother closes her eyes, goes, could it be dripping? She goes in the kitchen, opens the door under the kitchen sink, feels the pipe, it falls apart in her hand. I heard water, it rolled in the pipe. I'll tell you another story. Again, 5 or 7 years ago, I come home after Minyan. My father goes to work. I have a brother and sister. They're all married. And I go to my mom. I smell smoke at 8:30 in the morning. Mother goes, it's probably next neighbor. We had a barbecue last night. 2 hours later, my mother throws garbage out. Our other next neighbor's house is on fire. I probably smelled it when it was first starting. We're kind of happy because she thinks her house is like the Queen Zoo. She has like 30, 40 cats. She might have an elephant down there. We don't know what she is. She's not normal. But yeah, all my senses increase. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, I know it's night now, you're looking straight at me. You just turned your eyes a little bit.
Wow.
But you know what I'm saying? But I need increased sense because I can't survive otherwise.
What sense is that you use to detect that just now?
I don't know. I can't tell you. But I need increased senses.
That's crazy.
If you're wondering what I see, I sometimes see black. Right now I'm seeing black with a little yellow. I see white. I see blue. I see green. Tan. I think those are colors. All my imagination. I can't see anything. I mean, I call myself the Jewish Batman. By Cohen's the cat lady.
Can I ask you another quick question?
You can ask me anything you want. I don't get insulted.
Okay, so now looking back in retrospect, what do you think is like the most important thing you appreciate? You gave a few examples, but what's the one that's the highest?
Either three things. I think it was Nate or someone asked me before. My Rebbe, my parents, or my family, and Torah. And of course Hashem. But those are the greatest thing, and I appreciate being a Jew. I just tell you, Yonatan, I'll tell you a story. My friend Elitzur Agus lives in Israel, for Imanana. He called me one Sunday, where are you? I was in Borough Park. He goes, okay, Levi, I'm picking you up, we're going to my Mani's hospital. You're talking Sunday afternoon. It was the saddest thing. Every Jewish person had someone by the bed, some non-Jews had nobody. And you feel bad for them. Like, where's your friends? Where your you just feel bad. There's nothing like Klai Yisrael. I think my Cohen will agree with what I'm saying. There's nothing like Klai Yisrael. I'm sure you know the famous story of my friend. This Fum guy was driving, let's say, on the Bell Parkway, and he sees another Fum Jew's car break down, so he pulls over to help him. And you see he has JC on his chest. So he goes, are you Jewish? He goes, no, I'm not. My mother told me to put this on my head whenever I break down. Because they don't have that. I'm sure my Cohen will tell you, they don't have it sold. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you understand what I'm about to say, Yuchashom, is a Jew collapse here? All of why you'll be wanting to help him, people will be shoving money into his pocket. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing like being a Jew. I love being a Yid. I really do. I'll tell you another thing I miss, Yonatan, is seeing the beautiful Shabbos candles. I miss seeing the beautiful Shabbos candles. I hope I answered your question. I hope it helped, you know.
That was great, thank you.
Yeah.
No
other questions?
I have a quick one.
Yeah, what's your name, Jess?
It's Ariel.
Okay, I don't know if I told you, I mean, I'm just blind, so I can't tell who it was.
So you mentioned that you saw color, that you see colors.
Yeah, it's my imagination.
It's your imagination?
Yeah.
So what do you see anything, or do you just see black?
I'm completely, I tell you, I see colors, but it's my like right now I'm seeing yellow and like blackish and a little white on the bottom, but it's all my imagination.
Yeah.
I'm completely blind, I'm being serious, I cannot see anything. If I can see, it's like one millionth of one, like it's nothing. I'm 100% totally blind. I'm like a bat. I'm being serious. I cannot see a thing.
Lavi, did you always have this schmack sense of humor?
No, I did it because, I tell you why I do it, because I feel it makes people more at ease to ask questions. I think people are scared I'm going to assault you, Levi. You know, I've had a lot of funny stories, but yeah. Can I tell you guys two more stories that have happened to me?
Yeah.
I was in Chicago about 3 to 4 years ago. I don't know if you guys know Yoni Dam, but any of you guys from Chicago. I was at his wedding, and my friend and I stayed for Shabbos, and I got separated from my friend in the shul. I went to Davin, in the shul, in the Davin, he had something with me. Psst, psst, psst. And I go to the guy, can you please stop bothering me? I'm trying to Davin. The guy wouldn't stop, so I left that part, she went to a different part. After Davin, he said to me, Levi, you know, you were standing in the women's section. There were two women in there. I was trying to get you out of the women's section. I once went away for Shabbos. I noticed I had three buttons here. I don't remember having three buttons yet. Oh, I'll tell you a better one. Yeshiva Chaim. I love davening yeshivas. So my father goes to 6:30, made nothing to do with me. He dropped me off at Yeshiva Chaim. After davening, I used my cane to go to the corner, and I bumped into somebody. I apologized. But the guy wasn't responding. I was apologizing to a garbage can. You know, one of the benefits of being blind, you get a cane. If you're back with somebody you don't like, you can hit them and tell them it's an accident. A lot of my friends have been hit. I once went away for Shabbos. I noticed I had three buttons here. I don't remember having three button suit jackets. So I felt my pants, I felt the jacket, they felt different. So I go to my friend, my friend goes, no, Levi, it matches. On the bottom was some decoration. He goes, Levi, it's a beautiful decoration. Well, to Shabbos, I come home to my parents. My mother goes, you know, you wear my jacket all Shabbos. I was walking with a woman's coat all Shabbos. And if you're wondering if I ever seen an eye dog, I'm petrified of dogs, petrified. I was one time walking with a friend of mine, a dog jumped on the fence, I ran on the street. If I'm getting killed, I'm getting killed by a car, not by a dog. I was once at someone's house, they have a little dog this big, and they're creeping me out of a big cage, I go, no problem, I lock myself in the study. I'm petrified of dogs, petrified, and I'm not lying to you. Any other questions? You can ask anything, don't worry, I don't get insulted.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
Is that Matthew Cooper
on the
hills?
Oh, yeah.
How is your sense of timing?
Of timing?
Yeah.
So right now, I imagine right now it's around 7:51. What time is it?
7:54.
Okay, so I'm a little bit off, but you know, everyone has a human clock built in them. Mm-hmm. And you know, but I can tell you this. You want to hear the greatness of Hashem, Zev? Mm-hmm. So I can't use my watch. I can't press it on Shabbos because it's an electronic watch. So let's say I wake up at 6:20 in the morning. I don't know if I can put tzitzis on. When I hear birds chirping outside, that's usually the tzitzis. Hamavir shenai meinai utamai afapai. The first bracha. Shena salach tzavina lachim ben yom v'layla. So when you hear birds chirping, it's usually around the time to put tzitzis on. You know? So, yeah.
I never thought that before.
What?
I never realized that before.
Yeah. Because usually birds only chirp when it's light out. I don't know if they're sleeping, I guess, at night. I have no idea. I never talked to a bird, but yeah. But yeah, my time has been okay, you know. I'll tell you something else, Zev. I call myself the Bean GPS, Blind Man GPS. I give people who can see directions how to go. Even this Uber, I got into the Grand Central. I don't know if you do it as blind, but yeah.
Levi, how did your siblings react to everything?
So I don't know how my brother did. I do not know my brother, but my sister and brother-in-law was hard on them. They talked to the local rav, I don't know what he said to them. And my mother first took a tranquilizer, and my grandmother, love a shalom, she said, we survived Nazi Germany, we can survive this. And my grandma said, if you break down, you're going to hurt your son. At least on the outside, they're all strong. I can't tell you the inside, I can't tell you probably, I'm sure they're crying inside, they see the challenges I face. But on the outside, they're strong. Because they realize they break down, it's going to hurt me. Any other questions?
Do you find it like, are you able to stay up more than 24 hours? Like, is your sleep cycle different?
Oh, so it's very, yes. I find there's something, there used to be a commercial called 924 for blind people. Like, we don't get REM sleep. I don't know what that means, you know, but I know REM means rapid eye motion, but I don't know why we don't get REM sleep. But I have to take at least every day, at least a 20 minute, half an hour nap every single day.
That's it? How long do you sleep at night? Or.
About 5 hours, 5-6 hours. But even if I sleep 8 hours, I have to take a little bit of a nap during the day. I get more tired than you do because you see light. I don't see light. So you have to realize I see darkness. Even if I see white, blue, it's still darkness. So I get tired. So I have to usually take a little bit of a nap during the day. Even if it's a half an hour, 20 minutes, but I have to take some kind of nap. And I usually drink 2 cups of coffee a day. I have, you know what I'm saying? Because I can't see light. Light keeps you up. How much sleep you get a night?
I guess it depends when I go to sleep, but...
Yeah. On the average.
Probably between 6 and 8.
Gotcha. You know, you guys, my brother's the head chef here, not of Greenspan. If you ever see a tall white guy in the cafeteria, that's him. That's my brother. Any other questions?
I have a quick question.
Yeah, you can ask anything you want.
Do you ever get distracted?
Yonatan?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm not really blind.
Do you ever get distracted, or are you always mindful?
I can tell you this. If you guys were all talking, I'd probably get distracted.
When you're alone?
What?
When you're alone?
When I'm alone... I tell you what, I do find my mind, what's it called? My little kids do it all the time. My imagination is much stronger. Like, I tell you, it's very funny. I have, like, my own baseball teams. I make up the fake names. But my imagination is much stronger than yours. Like, you know, I'm saying, I sometimes think I'm a political talk show host. I call myself MikeyStein.com. Don't ask me how I got that, you know? I make up names, you know? My imagination became much stronger. And yes, I think it is harder for me because I remember when I was in Rapanashir, I used to have to write everything down. Obviously, I can't. So I do sometimes get a little distracted. Not distracted, my imagination takes me away in the middle of a Shia. And obviously, I can't write down. So, you know, I'll end up writing on a guy's shirt, you know.
Can you share some ways that halakha is different for you than it is for...
Yeah, so someone asked about the yashas that's out for me. I don't do kriya. I can't do kriya at the kotel. I was once home with a bunch of friends. I got in touch with David Cohen from Chevron. He said, I'm not allowed to light the Shabbos candles. But you have Dalit, there's a big machlokas because people say, you know, if you get enjoyment from the heat, and that I can do, you can make a bracha. Some people say no. So if I make Abdullah, I tell another guy, make the candle bracha for me. Kish Levan is someone usually says for me. I listen to them. By Hanukkah, what Shechta said, really, your father shall light and have your mind and take your hand and light yours. For Aliyahs, Mishnah Berurah writes, just Parsha Par and Zachar, I can't get an Aliyah because those are Doraisas, but everything else I can. Pekeach Ivim, Rabinovich, said, I can say because I can thank Hashem, I have people like you who can see, help me out. But Don Segal said, Hashem Kavana, Hashem show up in my eyes, so that's usually what I do. I don't know what else. Think about anything that requires eyesight, I can tell you. I mean, you don't want me when I shake lulav, I smack UGP. I'm just joking. But, anything that requires eyesight, you know. Pekeach Ivim, tzitzit is something I'll put on, obviously, yeah.
A rainbow?
You can't make a bracha, you can't see it. Like, oh, lightning. I'm not allowed to make a bracha on lightning, I can't see it. I can make a bracha on thunder, but not lightning. But I can't see it.
I have another question.
Yeah.
It's Adam.
Do you mind if I just sit down?
No, please.
Okay, just, yeah. Okay, go.
So I understood your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I want to understand, were you angry at Hashem at one point in your life?
I tell you, maybe 8 to 9 times in my 20 years, very little. He's my father. I get depressed. I do get depressed. I once told Hashem, please take my life away. I do get depressed. I'm a human being. But how can I get angry at my father? He's my father. Adam, can I ask you a question? Do you get angry at your father?
Yes, I do.
But if you realize how much your father gave you, realize how much all the more so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, you can never get angry at him. How could you get angry at Hashem? Adam, do you ever go to Israel?
Yes.
You don't find it incredible? If you think about the state of Israel, it's surrounded by at least 750 million, if not even 1 billion Arabs. I'm sure a lot of them want to kill us. Can you explain to me how we're stopping them? You can't tell us we have the best army. Yes, we do, but Hashem blessed us with that. If you think about it, the Palestinians don't have a brain. They even had a half a brain, they can cause Israel much more trouble. You know, sit there, civil disobedience in the highways, you know. If Rav Yaakov Emden said, the greatest proof Hashem's in this world is that the Jewish people are still around. It doesn't make sense how we're around. And you look at the Torah, you see it's from Hashem. How could I get angry at my own father? He's doing it for my best. I can tell you one thing, Rav Blachman, if anyone here go to KBY? Okay, Rav Blachman, who was in Yeshiva Camp Yavne, said, when Mashiach comes, I'll probably be dancing in front of Hashem, saying, thank you for what you did. It's all for my best. How can I get my own father? He's my tati. Let me ask a bigger question, Adam. Why do you have to give me sight? What did I do for him? What did I do for Hashem that he had to give me sight? It's not like I work in a company, they have to pay me. I don't work for Hashem. Just because I learned Torah and do mitzvah, that's not working for Hashem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why do I have to, you know what I'm saying? I did nothing for Hashem. It's all chesed. He's doing for me. I hope I wasn't too harsh on you.
No, not at all.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Anyone else? Don't be shy.
Yeah, so you want another funny story? I once walked into a woman's bathroom. When I heard a woman talking, I ran out so fast. Oh, I tell you this. I hate when people are overprotective of me. I can't stand it. I was once at one of my friend's house, and the father was saying, "Watch this, watch this, watch." I couldn't handle the father anymore. I could not handle him. So I asked him where the bathroom was. He showed me. I lied in the bathtub, screaming, "Help me, help me." He almost had a heart attack when he came running in. Yeah, what?
Do you still remember the way you look?
No. I have no idea how I look. No idea at all. I have no idea how I look. I really don't. I know how a human being looks like, but I don't know how I look, no. I don't know how you look either. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I remember when I was a little kid, but that's not, you know what I'm saying? Even then, I'm losing it a little bit, yeah. I remember, what?
Your favorite sports team from back in the day?
I was a big Met fan, unfortunately. They were losers.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I understand why the Mets, Nets, and Jets all why. Because all, yeah. I don't follow sports much anymore. I hardly ever.
Do you ever listen to sports on the radio? Or
no. The one game I listened to was the Boston Red Sox against the Yankees on the last playoff game. Oh my god, I want to throw the radio out the window. Listen to John Sterling is, oh my goodness, drives you up the wall. I think every Yankee fan agrees, no?
Yeah.
It looks like he left his brain at home. I don't know what he, you know? He said this guy, Aaron Hicks, almost sent home when he says, only 2 seats away. Susan Wormiga, no, I hate to break it, was 3 seats away. You know? I want to tell you, combine those. Yeah. But, yeah.
The other question.
You and your brother have great resemblance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, now you realize who my brother is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nadav.
Yeah, now people say that. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I remember in bits and pieces. You have to realize I've been blind for 20 years. It's hard to remember, you know, bits and pieces of him, you know? But I think I tell you, Yonatan, if I think I got to see tonight or tomorrow, I wouldn't be shocked how he looks. I'd be shocked at my friends later on, you know, I met later afterwards. I'd look. Because I make images how they look, and I'm probably totally wrong. Totally off base, you know. Any other questions? You can ask me. What?
Do people generally treat you differently, or no?
Overall, not, but occasionally I do have people like that, and it drives me at the wall. There was one time in Israel, and different guys helped me out. A guy was literally carrying me like a baby across Kikar Shabbos. So I was like, buddy, I can walk, you know, myself. I was once in some place, and this guy was cutting up the food for me. I want to tell you, he might give me Gerber's baby food and a bib. You know, overall, people are pretty good with me. But I occasionally do have people like that who treat me differently. You know, luckily, I never had it, but the worst is people are screaming to you. Hello? Hello? I go, buddy, I might be blind. I'm not deaf. You know? But people, above all, no. I once had this. A cab dropped me off at my house. I walked on my porch because I know my porch. I knocked on the door. When a Chinese man answered, I realized he was not my father. It was very nice. He walked me home, but, you know, I realized it wasn't my father. Yeah. Any other questions, you guys? You can ask me anything you want. I don't get insulted. Okay, can I ask you guys a favor? Can we just sing one song?
Sure.
Right, Cohen, is there room for a circle here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yonatan, because you're the one I do remember. And Adam, I remember you guys' name. And Phil.
That's me.
Bless.
That would work. There's a table.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anachnu Avim Osam HaKadosh Baruch Hashem, we love you. I tell you one thing, but I was thinking one thing. You know what I see now? Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of my eyes. I really do. Hashem, we love you.
Hashem, we love you. Hashem, we love you. Hashem, we love you. Hashem, we love you. Hashem, we love you.
Toivas Hashem to me, ma.
Toivas Hashem to me, ma. Toivas Hashem to me, ma. Meshivas lafesh. Toivas Hashem to me, ma. Toivas Hashem to me, ma. Toivas Hashem to me, ma. Meshivas lafesh. Oh, yeah, Toivas Hashem.
Yeah.
I just did a sick.